Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Anatomy and Physiology series. In this series, we will be talking all about marble bone disease, also known as osteopetrosis. This is a bone disease caused commonly by acidic metabolic imbalances in genetics. This imbalance causes malfunctions in the balanced process of bone formation and resorption. The cells that make this process possible are called osteoblasts and osteoclasts. In osteopetrosis, osteoclasts are affected and cannot effectively resorb old bone cells to make room for the new ones. This creates a buildup of new and old bone cells, making the bones extremely hard, yet also extremely weak. We will talk more about the importance of these cells in detail in the next episodes. This disease is not to be confused with osteoporosis, which is a disorder of osteoblasts and make the bones appear spongy or porous. Unlike osteoporosis, osteopetrosis is a disorder in which the bones are dense and compact, which makes them prone to break. So our body, in this disease, is constantly making new bone cells, but not breaking down the old ones to make room for these new ones created. Marble bone disease is inherited and can be categorized by diagnostic findings and severity. 1 in 20,000 people suffer from the autosomal dominant form of this disease, which is also known as Albert-Schoenberg disease. This is the most commonly diagnosed form of osteopetrosis and also happens to be the most asymptomatic. Many people discover their diagnosis after unusually dense bones are present in unrelated X-ray findings. So this could be something as simple as a small fracture, which turns into you finding out you in fact have osteopetrosis. When a radiologist reviews the imaging of the bones, they will appear dense and have a chalk-like appearance. I say chalk-like because when we think of chalk, we think of something thick, not a porous item. Although chalk is very thick, it's also prone to breaking, just like these bones will be. Those who do exhibit symptoms typically experience bone fractures, suffer from scoliosis, which is an abnormal curvature of the spine, arthritis, osteomyelitis or bone infections, and arthritis in the hips. There are two more forms of the disease called autosomal recessive and X-linked. Autosomal recessive form affects only 1 in 250,000 people. This shows these are the two rarest forms of the disease. However, these are the most severe. Some symptoms may include bone marrow failure, psychomotor retardation, paralysis, loss of nerve function, especially in cranial nerves, anemia, hematopoiesis, macrocephaly, enlarging of the liver and spleen, renal tubular acidosis, and many more occasional symptoms we will discuss further. Autosomal dominant osteopetrosis is typically diagnosed in adulthood. These adults have relatively normal lives because, like I said before, it's typically asymptomatic. Children, however, are not so lucky. They are the ones typically diagnosed with autosomal recessive osteopetrosis. These sufferers have a poor prognosis. However, the many treatments we will discuss are targeted to directly combat with each cause and effect of osteopetrosis. So this means each treatment has one goal, and that is to stimulate the effects of the osteoclasts and to get them into working order. Now that you know what osteopetrosis is and its different forms, it's important to remember some of these basics. As next, we will take an in-depth look at all the defects and effects associated with the disease. So stay tuned for the next episode, we will take an in-depth look at autosomal dominant osteopetrosis.